Lots of meetings today in Washington. President Trump's Election Integrity Commission has met for the first time. The president urged the bipartisan panel to have an open mind and no pre-drawn conclusions as they investigate the election. That even as he asserted that there were voter irregularities in large numbers in several unnamed states. That's a claim for which there is no evidence.
Every time voter fraud occurs, it cancels out the vote of a lawful citizen and undermines democracy. Can't let that happen. Any form of illegal or fraudulent voting, whether by non-citizens or the deceased, and any form of voter suppression or intimidation must be stopped.
President Trump also is lunching with Republican senators who failed this week to come to an agreement on a way to overturn President Obama's Affordable Care Act. President Trump is requesting another vote next week.
And we are wondering, Lisa, if in that lunch anything is being asked about the latest tick in the Russian story, news of a second conversation between President Trump and Russian President Putin at the G20 summit earlier this month. So let's discuss with our Here Now political analyst, Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist, host of the Beat D.C. podcast. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Paris Denard, a Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello.
And I'm going to start with you, Paris. Yesterday, the president said he wants to let Obamacare fail, and he won't own it when it does. Today, he said, back to work on fixing Obamacare. Here he is going into the meetings with senators.
I think we're a lot closer than people understand, and we have to pull it through. So important. But we're in this room today to deliver on our promise to the American people, to repeal Obamacare and to ensure that they have the health care that they need. We have no choice. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Paris, that's head spinning. You know, yesterday let it fail, today repeal and replace. Does his inconsistency bother you? And should he be owning some of this? Do you think this was a failure of his leadership?
First, I don't think it's a failure of the president's leadership. Look, he, for a little over a year, campaigned on many things. One of the things was repealing Obamacare and replacing it with something that was better for the American people. And so within 6 months of him being elected the president of the United States, he utilized the bully pulpit and in his influence on the Congress. And the House did what it was never been able to do before, which was pass an actual repeal of Obamacare and put a replacement bill, which then went to the Senate. And they are still working to try to figure out how to best move forward. It seems as if it's just going to be a repeal effort. And so to answer your first part of the question, no, I don't think it is head spinning or the president doing anything but being consistent on his message that, look, we have first got to repeal Obamacare, whether we do it now or do it with a combination of repeal and replace. Make no mistake about it. In my opinion, if they repeal it, they're going to put it back with something that's better for the people. So the question is how or the timing on which they can are going to be able to replace it with something. And I think it's frustrating for a lot of Republicans like myself that it took after seven some odd years of this horrible bill being put into law that the Republicans in Congress have yet to come up with some type of a coalition of support around fixing this Obamacare with something better.
Jamal?
Well, I think the Republicans have been led down a cul-de-sac of failure by the, President Trump. It's clear that they just don't have an agenda they're willing to stand by that they have been campaigning on and talking about for years to be able to take to the American public in the next elections. You know, everything that's coming out of the White House just seems to be about tearing apart what Barack Obama did. We still don't know how the Republicans want to build the United States, make it a better place. We haven't gotten infrastructure. We haven't gotten to a level of tax reform that's not just a tax cut for the wealthiest. How do we rebalance the scales for working class people in some of those counties and states that voted for President Trump? We just haven't seen it yet.
Is there a chance? I mean, we heard President Trump say there, I think we're a lot closer than people understand. Is there a chance that Democrats and Republicans can work together if the Senate cannot pass its bill?
Well, Lisa, that's the whole point of what the president was saying yesterday. He believes in his strategy is that, you know, you repeal it. And then if Democrats are serious about having something that's better for the American people, that is about the people and not about premiums, then they will come to the table and try to work together to bring something.
Will they be invited to the table? They were not invited to the table.
That's something you have to ask the strategy of the Senate Majority Leader. But I think the president has been clear that he is someone who believes in negotiating, believes in working on both sides of the aisle. So he just invited them to the table. And I think, to Jamal's point, I'd rather be in a cul-de-sac than a dead end. A dead end means you're going nowhere. With a cul-de-sac, at least you have the opportunity to turn the ship around and get driving. I think that's what the president's trying to do. He's trying to turn this thing around and get to a point where we can have better health care for the American people.
Well, you know what I'm saying, which is that they're not even inviting all the Republicans to the table. Remember when Mitch McConnell began to put this deal together, there were 13 white male senators in a room trying to draft a health care plan for the entire United States of America. And I think it's amazing that they kept even the women Republicans out of that room. And it's the women Republicans who are standing up for the rest of the country and denying them victory.
Paris, it was three female Republicans yesterday who said that they would not go for this Hail Mary pass vote on repeal and delay repair for 2 years. It was three women who weren't in that room.
That's true. And, you know, Senator Ted Cruz was also at the table there. But at the end of the day, Jamal was correct in his assumption when he said that that was Senator McConnell. Again, we have to ask ourselves, if the Senate is going to be serious about this, both Republicans and Democrats, they are going to have to get a new strategy, because the president has been clear. He wants to bring people to the table to get the best deal for the American people. That includes Democrats. And yes, that includes the Republicans that have been waffling on their support of the current bill that is on the table.
I'd be happy if he at least just started with the women Republicans to the table and having them have a say about what's going to happen to half the U.S. population.
Okay. And I think the president would do that. That was Senator McConnell's decision.
Okay. Well, so there's that. A new day today after yesterday's Let It Die. But I don't want to talk about Russia, which some have said, you know, that's where the president's attention has been, as opposed to, you know, doing the hard backroom arm twisting that it takes to get a law, you know, through Washington. But we learn now of a second Trump-Putin meeting at the G20 summit. It wasn't secret. It was, you know, in full view of other world leaders, but it wasn't disclosed. And it didn't have an American interpreter and didn't have any other American policymaker to listen in to hear what President Trump was saying to President Putin, and whether or not Putin's interpreter even got it right. Jamal, your thoughts on the Russia aspect of this administration?
The White House lies, obfuscates, and dissembles.
Oh,
wait a minute. Are they all the same word?
Oh,
they do all of those things all the time with reckless abandon. It is amazing to me that we take their word for anything whatsoever. The fact is that this president is not trusted by most people. If Barack Obama had to pull aside with Putin, I don't think we would mind. If George W. Bush had to pull aside with Putin, I don't think anybody would raise an eyebrow. The reason why everyone's raising eyebrows is because Donald Trump is suspected of being either colluding or corroborating or being somehow involved in the Russian attack on the United States and refusing to punish Russia for such attack. That is something that everybody in the country ought to be worried about, Democrat or Republican. And I am shocked that Republicans are refusing to engage on this and hold this president accountable.
Well, to be fair, it's not just the matter of the questioning around President Trump and his relationship with Russia. It's also a matter of the fact that the only interpreter was a Russian interpreter. Therefore, there's no U.S. record of what was even discussed.
Leaves the president totally at the whim of Vladimir Putin, who we know it has an adversarial relationship with the United States and is a master manipulator. It was very bad form.
Paris, very bad or smart diplomacy?
Listen, I think it was we're trying to pick holes and try to find the fault in the president's second successful international trip. I think with all the things that we have going on that are reflecting upon the issues that involve Russia. We have the issue of Ukraine, which is important. We have a new ambassador that was just announced to Russia, Ambassador John Huntsman. You have the issue of energy and Syria and the ceasefire that was done. And not to leave out the possibility of Russia's 2016 election engagement.
So, and don't forget, there are many issues, though, with many other countries whose leaders he walked right by on his way to Vladimir Putin.
Well, you couldn't find that out if you listen to the mainstream media. And
we wouldn't have found out anything.
Because all we seem to think about is that the only issue that matters is Russia and the possibility of collusion. So if Russia is a big deal, if all of these things are so important to the 2016 election outcome, which there's no proof of that, and all of the important national security issues that that involve Russia, why would we not want our president to have a serious engagement with the leader of Russia?
Just remember,
Jared Kushner wanted to set up, the president's son-in-law, wanted to set up a secret back channel with the Russians using Russian embassy facilities. Donald Trump just had a secret back channel with Vladimir Putin.
And to Jamal's point, he said earlier, if President George W. Bush or President Obama or any other American president had us the same setup, it would not have been a deal. We have got to be consistent.
Well, I have to say, it was a big deal. When President George W. Bush said he saw into the soul of President Putin, it was a huge deal and a misstep. It was considered a misstep by him.
Sure.
Paris, I just got to ask you quickly.
Sure.
My friend, are you not at all concerned that the president is far more exercised about finding what he says is election fraud on the part of states where there is absolutely no evidence of it and launching this commission than finding what happened with the Russians? You only have about 30.
Yeah, listen, I think that the part of what you see in this important election commission is to get to the bottom of voter election fraud. And if there's something that has to be uncovered that showed Russia impacting that, it will come out. The president is serious about voter integrity.
Paris Denard and Jamal Simmons, Democrat, Republican. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.